Capital Market Insights from ICMA.
Welcome to the ICMA podcast. Today we'll be speaking about the debt capital markets in Southeast Asia, trends and opportunities. My name is Mushtaq Kapasi. I'm Chief Representative for Asia Pacific at ICMA. And we're delighted to have as our guest today, Norma Slisa Sulaiman, Senior Managing Director and Head of Capital Markets at CIMB Investment Bank in Malaysia. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Mushtaq. Thank you for having me here today. Just a little bit about CIMB Group. It's the leading ASEAN universal bank and a regional capital markets leader, ranking number one in ASEAN local currency bonds for 9 consecutive years from 2011. And we are the largest bond arranger in ASEAN. We are also a world leader in Islamic finance, and we are the world's largest global sukuk arranger to date.
Okay, thank you. Well, you're obviously extremely well qualified to speak today about the ASEAN capital markets. And just for those listeners who may be unfamiliar, ASEAN is A-S-E-A-N, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, comprising 10 countries in Southeast Asia. And we'll be going into a bit more detail about which of the markets are the most active in a little bit. So let's get right into the questions, Lisa. First of all, just broadly speaking, can you tell us generally about how the ASEAN, the Southeast Asian fixed income market has developed over the last few years, both the domestic markets, the onshore markets, as well as the cross-border markets that may be in some of the G3 currencies?
Well, I think if you look at the ASEAN local currency component, the top four ASEAN local currency corporate bond markets are the ringgit and the Thai baht bond markets, and they command a market share of north of 30%. The Sing dollar market ranging from 13 to 16%, and the IDR bond market with 10 to 12%. You can also see within the ASEAN local currency market, this market has experienced significant growth in the last 15 years, with the ringgit market growing about 206% from 2005 to last year's volume of about 93 billion ringgit of credited issuance. This is from the Bloomberg league tables. And for the IDR market, that was a growth of 953%. So a tremendous growth. And you can see within the other ASEAN markets, the Thai baht market is also one of the growth drivers, growing about 262% to about 1.1 trillion of Thai baht local currency delivered within the local context in 2019. Sing dollar market also experienced quite a growth of 165%. And the ASEAN US dollar market has grown from where it was in 2005 with about 3 billion of issuance to about 35 billion of issuance in 2019. So that represents 1,025% growth. So significant growth within the ASEAN local currency market and equally in the G3 markets as well.
Well, and I actually used to be a DCM lawyer about 15 years ago. So I was there back in the three billion market phase. And now it's multiplied by about 10 times since then. That's the international market. And you've mentioned the domestic markets in at least Singapore, Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, and Thailand have also increased significantly. So in many jurisdictions in ASEAN.
What's interesting to note as well, within the ASEAN local currency content, even though the Indonesian contribution is a 10 to 12% market share, their contribution to the dollar ASEAN market is a lot larger, straddling between 30 to 40%. So this is very interesting because you not only see the sovereign tapping the market, but a lot of the Indonesian corporate as well, tapping the market and these quasi-sovereigns.
Okay, well, that's very helpful background. And so one thing about ASEAN that I think is quite interesting and almost unique in the world is that it has a developed conventional bond market, as well as a robust Islamic finance market, particularly in Malaysia and Indonesia. How do you see these two markets influencing each other? And do you feel this creates any particular unique selling points or any interesting characteristics of the ASEAN market that would be relevant for international investors?
I think what's interesting to note is within the ASEAN bond markets, there are two significant champions within the Islamic finance context. Malaysia and Indonesia are both strong champions in developing Islamic finance. This is due to Malaysia's strong commitment in building a holistic and complete ecosystem, resulting in a very strong local currency corporate bond market, which has a content of 78% of Islamic instruments with a variety of structures. And this includes corporate perpetuals, project finance bonds, tier 1 and tier 2, asset-backed securities, convertible and exchangeables as well, and ESG team bonds over and above the plain vanilla issuances. So I would see this as a testament to local regulators setting multiple incentives and clear guidelines for investors and intermediaries in adopting a level playing field for both issuance formats. We also expect the local currency corporate bond mix to remain 70 to 80% Islamic, as Malaysian investors have embraced Sukuk, owing to advantageous tax treatments in Malaysia, where the tax framework is conducive for both Sukuk issuers and investors. Indonesia also has impressed the market with the Republic of Indonesia's consistent US dollar global Sukuk benchmark, and they are known as the largest sovereign Sukuk issuer. We were humbled to work with the Republic of Indonesia on many of their global Sukuk transactions and on their debut green US dollar Sukuk in 2018. And that was the world's first green sovereign Sukuk, which from there, they have issued another two green US dollar issuance. So many ASEAN sponsors have ventured abroad in neighboring ASEAN countries, and we've facilitated cross-border transactions in both local currency and dollars. In realizing our clients' regional aspirations, we were privileged to have worked alongside them to bring them to market the following transactions. Axiata tapped the CNH $1 billion in 2012. And recently, this year, a couple months back, $1.5 billion. Tenaga also tapped the market twice in 2016 and $750 million again in 2018. Khazanah is a repeat issuer with multiple issuances within the local context. And also, they are very much known in the international market with their US dollar Sukuk transactions, which also includes exchangeable issuances in both Sukuk and conventional bond formats. And also, they've tapped Sing Dollar and CNH as well. Just to talk about the other markets, you can also see Kung Thai, which is a Thai issuer, tapping the ringgit market for a tier 2 sub-debt, and this is a 1 billion ringgit back in 2015. We've also helped TransDai Malaysia, which is a project finance, and this is a JV between Petronas and PTT, and that was a 600 million back in 2010. So the market was already very dynamic, even many years back. And just to cover on the Indonesian side, we recently were fortunate to work with Bank Mandiri on their $500 million earlier this year. And you can see other issuers from Indonesia tapping the dollar market, such as Towers Bersama, Lippo Karawaci, Inalum, SSMS. And what was also interesting to see is there are multi-finance companies in the Indonesian domicile that taps the Sing dollar market. And we've seen this even from 2014, 2015. In summary, you do see a lot of ASEAN issuers stepping within the neighboring ASEAN markets and also in the dollar markets. And we will continue to support them in their regional and also in their dollar aspirations. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Two interesting points that I think come to my mind from your answer. One is that the actual investor base in ASEAN, particularly in Malaysia and Indonesia, many of them invest in conventional instruments, conventional fixed income, but many of them invest in Islamic instruments. Many of them invest in both, depending on their own investor preferences and sometimes the incentives given at a government or tax level. And I think the Indonesian issuances are very interesting as well, because they are Islamic in structure, but they're very much geared toward the international market and even incorporating international standards for sustainability, for example, in the pandemic. So I think these are some very interesting innovations that are coming from ASEAN that you may not see elsewhere in the world. Okay, so if there are investors out there that might be interested in gaining exposure to these very fast growing markets, either from an international or from a domestic point of view, where do you feel are the best opportunities? Where do you feel that there is potentially some alpha for an EM investor or a generalist investor in the ASEAN fixed income markets?
Before I go there, I would also like to add within the ASEAN market, specifically in Malaysia, which has a very rich pool of natural Islamic funds and conventional funds, which are agnostic to the issuance format. So that is why Malaysia as an Islamic hub is so successful. And as long as the credit is acceptable, these investors are hungry to invest in familiar credits, be it local currency or even US dollars. Similarly, Indonesia is also growing towards that direction. You do see a lot more Sukuk issuances and strong participation from the local investors in the local corporate Sukuk issuance, and also the same in the global sovereign Sukuk issuance fronts as well.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the issuer and the credit mix? Where is the liquidity? Where is most of the buying opportunity? Is it mostly on the kind of sovereign side, the IG side? Are there opportunities up the yield curve as well in some of these jurisdictions?
I think if you do look at the ASEAN local currency mix, what's interesting to note is that north of 40% are FI. So it's a large content of FI as a sector, but that's understandable given that these are growing economies. And over and above that, you do have exposure in terms of quasi-government-based obligors. And those are the top two largest exposure that you see within the local currency context within ASEAN. And the interesting part about the ASEAN local currency market is that it's very self-sustainable. A lot of the issuers tap the local market for capex, working capital requirements. And that's why, even though there is a lot of growth within the ASEAN dollar market, there's still a lot of issuers that remain within the local currency market. So if you would like exposure and you are only looking at the dollar market, this may not give you the variety of credits that you may want, especially if you're looking into coming into ASEAN as a market. So going into local currency would enable offshore investors to get the benefit of diversification of credit and access to some of these credits that would not even tap the dollar market.
I see. So if I'm understanding you correctly, there are some issuers that would fund in both onshore currencies as well as kind of offshore, kind of more harder international currencies. But if a foreign investor is willing and able to invest in domestic markets, it opens up a wider variety of sectors and of credits.
Exactly, yes. We do see a lot of our ASEAN sponsors have ventured not only in the dollar markets, but in neighboring ASEAN local currencies. As an ASEAN house, we facilitated a lot of the cross-border transactions. And in realizing our clients' regional aspirations, we were privileged to have worked alongside with them in a multiple of the transactions. In fact, just to name a few, in terms of issuance abroad, for example, Axiata has issued even in a CNH issuance and also a dollar issuance recently. 1.5 billion was just printed a couple months ago. And for Tenaga, they printed $750 million back in 2018. Khazanah is a repeat issuer in the dollar market. You see them not only in sukuk transactions offshore, global sukuks offshore, but also in exchangeable sukuk in the global market. So Khazanah has also issued Sing dollar within the local currency context. They are a very big issuer as well for investors that want a quasi-sovereign-based credit.
Okay. For some of the quasi-sovereigns, even a wider variety of structures that they've been issued that are available to investors. Okay. Very interesting. So just moving on, one of the areas where ICMA is more and more focused, I would say, is sustainability. And we've been absolutely honored to work with ASEAN at a very high level to produce, well, to help them produce, really, the ASEAN green bond standards and social bond standards that are quite active in the market today. So I'm sure you're aware of this from CIMB. Where do you, as a head of capital markets, see opportunities for sustainable finance growth in ASEAN? And what would you say needs to be done both by the market participants as well as maybe the official sector to increase sustainable investment through the capital markets?
I strongly believe that the local regulators are extremely passionate in this area. We have seen SE issuing the SRI Sukuk framework in 2014, and this is followed by the SRI roadmap for the Malaysian capital markets in 2019. And within the region, regulators have worked together, and the ASEAN Capital Market Forum has introduced the ASEAN Green Bond Standard in 2017, followed by the ASEAN Social Bond Standards and ASEAN Sustainability Bond Standards in 2018. So a lot has been done in the ASEAN region. And even from CIMB standpoint, we have worked on a few ESG theme transactions, whether it's dollar, ringgit, even we did a transaction many years ago, even in IDR. So we have been extremely passionate and aligned with the local government's initiative in terms of originating sustainability themed issuances. And it is a trend that is growing within the local context. A lot more investors are adopting this approach as well. And we do see that this will be a prevalent trend going forward.
Do you actually see it in your transactions now? In, you know, on your roadshows or virtual roadshows, for example, do you see the behavior of investors either investors based in ASEAN or investors in ASEAN credits changing in terms of their focus on ESG? Is that actually something that you're hearing, or is it more just a theoretical change in investor perceptions?
It is a growing trend. We do see a lot more investors asking to invest in ESG-themed issuances. But I do agree that the majority of the investors within the ASEAN context are agnostic. They are happy to have a sustainably themed investments in their portfolio, but their mandates are not specific to that. So if you do look at mandates specific to ESG investments, that is a minority at the moment, but we do expect this to grow.
Understand. Okay. Well, we're almost out of time, but just have one last question for you, which is, I think, the question that we're asking everybody this year. But I think I am actually quite curious about your answer from ASEAN, is how have they held up this year? 2020 has been the year of the pandemic. We have seen some major volatility in some of the global markets, but generally they've held up fairly well. What has been your experience in ASEAN, both in terms of market performance, liquidity, as well as the infrastructure over the last few months?
I think the first month, people were adjusting in terms of working from home. So the first 1 to 2 months was an adjustment period. We do see the markets generally holding well, and there is a healthy appetite from investors across the region. But there is a year-on-year contraction from 2019, but that's understandable because we did have 1 or 2 months of a very quiet period until the market adjusted. So just to give you a sense of the contraction in the market, but it's a reasonable expectation that market will be contracting to adjust, one, for the quieter market. Second is, given the pandemic, it is understandable that there are less requirements for capital, for CapEx, for business expansion. So you do expect that business will be slower, hence less requirement for funding. So within the ringgit context, we did see an 18.2% contraction. The Sing dollar market was a little bit higher at about 36% contraction year on year. IDR slightly lower than Sing, maybe about 30% over, 31.1% to be exact. And on the Thai baht side, about 26.2%. But generally, we are very comfortable with the way the market is, the infrastructure of origination, execution, and also distributing to investors is BAU. We are even running local currency transactions and also even G3. We've done a few, even at CIMB's end, all via remote. It is a lot more efficient because you are able to engage investors virtually, and you have less market risk, especially for the G3 transactions, which typically upon announcing a trade or a mandate, you do have a window in terms of marketing, going on the road and closing the transaction. So it can straddle 1 to 1.5 weeks, depending on where you go on the road. Now you can literally do that within 1 or 2 days. So it's a lot more efficient, a lot less susceptible to market risk. Within the local context, it is extremely BAU, and we are happy to report that basically it is a very healthy market that we're seeing right now.
If I'm understanding you correctly, there has been some contraction, but that seems to be consistent with the slowdown in the overall economies. And ironically, even though no one would wish this pandemic upon the world, it has actually increased efficiency of execution in the markets, whether we expected that or not. So at least we can consider that a silver lining and be grateful for what we can get in this unfortunate situation. Okay, well, thank you very, very much for all your insights and your leadership and your knowledge of this market. We really appreciate your time and you coming to be a guest with us today on the ICMA podcast.
Thank you, Mushtaq. It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me here.
Great. And to those of you out there listening to this podcast, thank you again very much for your time and your interest. We wish you a good day. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. For more ICMA podcasts and further information on capital markets, please visit our website, icmagroup.org.